Blog Talk Radio.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go.
Adding in the other obstacle, did we bring everything in there?
The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Helping you to carry on. Call me, I will be there. Don't going down. It really going down. Just one of those days of yours. You say the right thing to keep me moving on, to keep me going strong. What else can
platform, breaking the stigma on mental health in ourselves, families, and communities one conversation at a time. With host LaWanda Chambers, licensed professional counselor, aka your therapist's favorite therapist, putting care back into you and the community. Black Sister Talk is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank Radio Network and is broadcasted on the Blog Talk Radio platform. Happy Saturday, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk, Where You Can Breathe, the community therapy platform. I am Ms. Wanda, your therapist's favorite therapist, giving you another unfiltered, candid conversation. I am so happy to have another opportunity to intrigue, provoke thought, and lift someone up today, and hope that you are able to learn something from this show that will help you in the future. I want to give a quick disclaimer. If you're new to the Black Sister community, I welcome you. I want you to know you can be safe and yourself. This is a space created for Black women to breathe. I practice this thoroughly and openly and suggest that you do the same. No need to have it all figured out here. I'm here to help you recognize the light within you and want you to see yourself shine the way that I do. So let's practice being free. Ladies, before we get into today's discussion, I want to take some time to just thank my sister Stephanie Stewart, owner of Little Learners, who is teaching all of our bright and budding talent how to use their words and regulate themselves by providing parenting classes as well as Little Learner packages, which helps the parent to be the teacher they have to be in these unprecedented times. And to my cousin, Tiffany Nixon from Talks with Tiff in Chicago, who also has a talk show that I frequent on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. on AM 1870, 1870, the gospel radio show. On this platform, she discusses similar issues and sheds light on the community and fights the stigma on mental health by bringing awareness to the people. I love and thank both of you so much for being there for me when I needed someone to be there for me the most. It is so important that we are able to trust one another and show up for each other. And I just want to let you know I appreciate you guys so much for being an example, as well as all of our listeners and live guests who participated in that conversation. It truly takes a village. I want to remind you, ladies and listeners, if you've gotten your pen and paper by now, please grab it and something to drink, because you do not want to miss the gems that will be dropped on today's show. Say that last week's conversation has set me up to come right on in and give you some great follow-up for this week as we get into part two of Black Sister, Can You Be a Better Friend? We will discuss handling broken friendships. Accepting the person you held in such high regards is not the person you thought they were, whether that be a personal or work relationship. Personally dealing with envy and resistance instead of being met with compassion and grace. Take a moment, ladies, and write down what values you represent as a friend, which simply answers, what type of friend are you? Okay, and once you've done that, I want you to draw a line between what values you wrote down for yourself, and on the other side, I want you to write a list of what values you want in a friend. Simply answering the question, what type of friend what you like, or what type of friend that you need. If the two don't align, this is okay, because we will also be learning about compassion and being able to meet resistance with purpose. As a young woman leading other women from all different age brackets, I find myself being somewhat of an authority figure, even before I recognized that that was the role I was playing in some people's lives. And I'm speaking before even becoming a professional, and more specifically about the way I've learned to form relationships and friendships, and how that transmuted into other relationships with women, both personally and professionally. Ladies, I will give you a few more minutes here to write down your values. And I'm going to open up the line so that I can hear from you ladies about your list and what types of friends you are and what types of friends you feel you want or need. I must also take this time to apologize for the delay in sound at the beginning of the show, and I appreciate my sisters for reaching out and letting me know that something was going on with that. So thank each and every one of you for being so patient and giving me the heads up. So, ladies, the lines are open. I would love to hear what are some of your values as a friend, as well as some of the values you look for in other women or men friendships, if that's if you guys want to open it up to both women and men.
Happy Saturday, Ms. Chambers.
Happy Saturday, beautiful. How are you, Miss Holly? This is Miss Holly.
I am alive and well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I love to have you, sister, and I'm so glad you're here to provide me with some added support on the line, and I'm very happy that my sister is here. So before I even ask her what are some of her values, I just want to let you guys know this is the owner of ABDH Counseling Services, and if you didn't know already, this is another therapist. We have beautiful melanated sisters on the line who are here to provide you with support. So let's engage. Let's have this discussion, and let's be real, honest, and authentic, because, you know, as sisters, we don't always show up for one another, and I think that when we show up here every Saturday and we engage in such deep thought and, you know, conversate with one another, we leave this group feeling replenished. So, sister, can you lead by example and maybe share one or two of your values as a woman, and then one or two values that you look for in a friend?
Absolutely. Well, I just want to say happy Saturday to all the beautiful sisters on the line, and I hope life is treating everybody amazing today. And I'm just going to start off for being accountable. For me, I'm definitely raggedy. I'm a work in progress, so I am still learning to be a good friend, even in my ripe old age. And a quality that I want to possess in being a good friend is being a good listener and never being judgmental. And that's definitely something that I look for in my friends as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that's a really good point that you brought up. I'm being accountable for me and how I show up and being a great listener. I'm over here making a list as you guys are sharing your values. I want to see how many values are we like-minded about and engage the conversation a little bit more from there. So thank you for that, Ms. Holly. Does anyone else want to share?
Yes, absolutely. This is your girl, Jess Steph. I'm checking in from Chicago. Thank you so much for the plug. I really appreciate this space as I share with you week after week. It is church for me.
Amen.
But for me, my friendship, and I was thinking about that when you said for both men and women, it's kind of the same. You know, I expect loyalty. I expect consideration, compassion, you know, because those are some of the things. And then my list is the same for both what I expect and then what I bring to the table as far as my friendship. You know, I'm a supporter. I'm a great lover. You know, I'm a lover. You know, I genuinely care about people and things. And, you know, when my friends are hurting, I genuinely hurt. And I'm, you know, when things are going right in their life. And like I said, this is a platonic, you know, for both men and women. I was sharing with a male friend of mine just recently. You know, we've been friends for almost 30 years. We went to high school together. We've seen each other through marriage and divorce and relationships, ups and downs. But I was just sharing with him, you know, that I was praying that God sends him somebody who can really love him right. And that's, as a friend, that's a genuine prayer for all of my friends, you know, and I will want that in return. I want friends that will pray for me, you know what I'm saying? So that's what friendship looks like to me in so many words.
No, I love it. I love it because we want to be our authentic selves, you know, and we want to be able to be that lover and show that care and, you know, set that boundary with people when we meet them and see if they're able and willing to meet us where we are. Oftentimes we may show those traits but never communicate those traits, and so no conversation occurs. You know, you don't talk about it. We roll around in assumption in life wondering why people are doing us wrong because we assume they have the same values as us. And so that's why we're having a discussion about what your values are, so we can get comfortable with identifying this to ourselves first, and then we can go ahead and have a further conversation with a future friend or a spouse or whomever. Everything is practice. So we have to practice having conversations about our values and, you know, exploring that. What you was going to say, Tiff? I know you got something to say, because what you about to say?
I was about to say, because I'm right there, and I wanted to say, you just brought up an interesting point, and I wanted to kind of roll back on that. What about these friends that we get by default? And I mean, what I mean by that is like classmates, and we so loosely use the term friend, but these are not our friends, and we subconsciously put these people in the friend category because we've called them friends or we're used to seeing them, so that's where we have kind of placed these people in our lives. But everybody is not a friend. You know, being familiar with a person and seeing a person all the time and even sharing workspace, common space, school space, you know, whatever your life you may have you at the time when you're interacting with other people. But do understand, just because you're familiar with them, they are not your friends. And I think sometimes we get disappointed in life because we lose that very important factor, because we become familiar with people and we put them in these categories, and they're not. So I just wanted to just throw that out there and add that, because sometimes, and I've done it, and I'm just speaking from experience, I've done it. I've become familiar with people and used to seeing people and dealing with them in my everyday life, being at school, work, or neighborhood even, you know, community, whatever it is, but just, you know, getting used to dealing with people and seeing people and becoming common with them, we often and when I say we, I mean me, you know, often kind of put people in categories that they really don't belong in. So that's something I wanted to just point out when we're talking about friends and disappointments and guarding ourselves against that, because sometimes we set our own selves up by not putting people in the right categories. And that's all I wanted to add on that.
Definitely. Not,
well, I think you did a good job. Treva, you want to respond, and then I'll respond to both of what you guys have to put out there.
Yeah, I just agree, like, with what she was saying. I know for me, like, as I'm learning and growing and understanding putting people or leaving people where they are or putting them in the appropriate category, like, same with, like, relationships when it comes to, like, love languages or how that person wants to be, like, loved or, received or whatnot. Like, I think of friendships that way, too, because me being who I am, I'm such a lover, like, such a giver, such a nurturer. Like, some people, I have friends that are introverts. So some people like to be, you know, loved differently, or they don't like all the attention, all the affection. So I have to be, for me, like, I have to kind of be gentle or mindful of how I shower this person with my love and not taking it personal or making it seem like, oh, they're not the same kind of friend that I want to become, that I need. And it's not that, just some people have a different way of wanting to be celebrated, wanting to be loved, wanting to be, you know, recognize all these different things. And so I have to remind myself, you know, I used to be take everything personal, personal, personal. And I had to realize it's not always about me. Like, am I too much for them? Am I showering them too much? Or is this the type of friendship, you know, that they need? So just, you know, understanding, you know, being able to reciprocate is also be somebody's friend the way that they need you to be their friend, not, you know, just the way that you know how to love on people.
Exactly. I
love it.
I can't agree with you more. So the first thing I'm going to say is to Tiffany, friends by default. We need to know what it takes to be a friend. So we have to come out of delusions and they have not earned to be in. Just because I see you every day does not mean we are a friend. If we don't foster the relationship and have those conversations and put that time in to be where we want to be as a friend, right? Because a lot of times people take things way too fast and they do not understand how to let something nurturing grow, how to build trust, how to learn what your love languages are, let alone care enough to know what those are. And then the other part piggying back off of what Treva said, some people are going to be introverted and extroverted, but you also need to know where you stand with certain people. You know, certain people have certain personality traits that contribute to toxicity, and you have to be able to recognize, you know, what is you and what is them, and not take ownership of things that are not your responsibility or out of your hand. All we can do is really learn how to communicate with the person, whether they be introverted, extroverted. We still need to know how to communicate with them and let them know. Because oftentimes we get upset out of assumption and we haven't really had a conversation. You know, to me, a good friend is loyal and somebody who's going to accept me on my good days and my bad days and still call me on the phone and say, good morning, gorgeous, when I got that bonnet on my head on that FaceTime. Like, girl, get it together. Get up this morning. What you doing? You know, or just calling to check on you to say, hey, I was thinking about you, and because I thought about you, I went ahead and I reached out to you to let you know that. See, we have to take it a step further and show up, not only for ourselves, but each other. And the reason I even started with this foundational question is because to answer this question, we really must evaluate what our values are. Values can be looked at as a noun, as your principles or your standards of behavior, your judgment of what's important to you in your life. And recognize that that's you in your life. So if somebody else's values don't align with you, you don't have to try to fix it and make it fit for you. Now, as a verb, a value can be meant to consider someone or something to be important or beneficial or having a high opinion of. So, ladies, we really want to think about values and the role it plays in our relationships and how we treat ourselves, as well as how we allow other people to treat us, as well as just how we treat people. You know, it goes back and forth. We want to take responsibility for that and lay a foundation of what values are. What values cultivate a good friendship? And if you disagree with anything I'm saying, I definitely want you to speak up, because we need to be able to have discussions where we're able to really understand where we are coming from, not to get into a quarrel about it, but definitely to provoke thought and help other people to think and look at things from your experience. Because I'm not God and I'm not always right, but I definitely try to look at things from all angles so that we can really get a full view of what we are stepping into when we talk about friendships. Because when we have a bad experience with someone, we have our values to reflect on and use as a guide for how we're going to set up boundaries and be assertive with folks as well.
And Ms. Chambers, can I add something to that, please?
Now, you know you can, Ms. Holly.
I just wanted to, you know, let everybody know that it's actually okay to for people to be our associates. Everybody doesn't have to be our friend. And I just want to make sure that everybody understands that when people are our associates, that's not a bad thing either. You know, that's a way that we have a relationship with a person without making it so personal and putting that title on it, where we're giving ourselves a chance to get to know people and see if we're able to take it to that other level. Because I have a lot of people that they are just my associates. They're people that I think are wonderful, but we're not at that level yet where I consider them to be friends. And that's something that I've learned to be careful of, because everybody isn't a friend. And so I have to be mindful of that. Just because I like them and I think they're wonderful, that doesn't mean that I know them like that and we have that trust and that level of respect. But they are some people that, you know, over time that I might love to get to have that relationship with. But I also have to be mindful that we're not there yet, and that's okay for them to be an associate until we get to that point, if we ever make it there.
I know that's right. You better put emphasis on if we ever make it there. That's what you better
put emphasis on. Absolutely, because everybody is not. That's what makes the world go round. Everybody doesn't have to be our friend, and everybody is not going to be friend material. And that's okay.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And that's what I mean by taking your time to cultivate a relationship with someone, you know, because we all want, we see those, you know, the girlfriends and the sisters and everybody just loving on each other and taking these girls' trips. But you got to build some security and some safety and some trust around folks, because if I'm going to talk to a friend and I'm going through something, I want to be able to talk to that friend and know that she's not going to be calling everybody saying, oh, well, you know what so-and-so did and this, 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 and this. You know, some things should just be private. And as women, we need to learn how to keep a boundary and know how we should guard and protect one another. That's so near and dear to me. We really have to be able to do that as women. And I just want to let you guys know a few values that I think cultivates a good friendship. One should have some empathy. We should have some equality, some compassion, some love, some trust, honesty. A lot of the times when we get to honesty, sometimes that's when people start saying, oh, she's jealous of me. And if I can't be honest with you, sis, I don't know why you even want to call me your friend. If you want me to show you empathy, equality, compassion, love, and trust, and respect all of the time, if I can't be honest with you, then why would you want me as a friend anyways? Because at the end of the day, that doesn't come from jealousy. That comes from a place of love. That honesty is exercised through these other values. I have to be honest with you, sister. When I see you slipping or you finna fall, I want to be able to say something to you so that you can, you know, get that red flag alert before you hit your head up against the wall or something else happens to you. You know, a lot of the times that's not received by women, and this is how we get to some of these broken friendships and get to feeling, you know, really weird about certain people. You'll be like, why you acting weird? It's like, no, sis, you acting weird. But you can't even tell her that without her getting offended. You know, people go through things. So we want to be able to think about how to have honest conversations with one another without really thinking about hurting your feelings, because I'm never trying to hurt your feelings, but I want to be able to talk to my sisters in ways that empower them and say, hey, sis, not you doing that wrong, because when we have conversations that come with criticism, we create a wedge between the love and the trust, because that criticism can feel like jealousy. That criticism can feel like hate. And it's all about how you're perceiving what someone else is saying to you, too. But it can really feel like somebody's trying to cut you with a knife and turn it. You know, a lot of these, in this time, we say she's throwing shade often. And sometimes it's like, I ain't even throwing shade at you. I'm just trying to be there for you, right? Ladies, have you experienced that?
Yeah, more than often.
Insecurities, I think. And I think we all need to do a self-check and, you know, periodically, you know, just go back and reevaluate. Do a self-check. We could act and be honest with ourselves. When our friends and our sisters are telling us, you know, what we know is right, we know it, but sometimes our insecurities won't receive it. But I think we need to, you know, go back and do a self-check and reevaluate ourselves. You know, am I receiving this? You know, am I, you know, check our confidence level. You know, check our confidence level. Can somebody tell me something that's not favorable without me getting offended? Can I listen to it, whether it be true or not? But can I take it in and evaluate it and sort it out without being offended? You know, and I think that comes with some levels of insecurities, you know, when your friends can't be honest with you. You know, you have to have people in your life that's going to be able to tell you, you know, when you're falling off.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
What I want, yeah. I mean, like, you hit the nail right on the head. But I think that some of those times, you know, when we meet that resistance for constructive criticism, because that's usually what it is, coming from a real friend, I think those insecurities are loud. And that's something that we have to do a self-check on that.
Say that one more time. Those insecurities are loud, and they spill over into other areas of your life when you have unresolved issues and you're pretending like those issues are not real. They show up at work. They show up with your lovers. It shows up with your friends. It shows up when you're in your car and you're on the freeway and somebody cuts you off. It is able to show up anytime, any place, because truly and honestly, a lot of times folks don't know what triggers them, when it's going to trigger them, and how they're going to respond. So you got to really be true with yourself. And if you know you got a jealous heart, let's go ahead and address the shadow self and see what that comes from. Why is that happening? Actually, do you ever ask yourself, why am I this way? Why do I behave like this? Or why do I respond like this when certain things are happening? And the other part is, sisters, we got to learn how to talk to one another. You know, we come so far. We have so many things to be grateful for in this world, and just having a sister and somebody that looks like you and somebody that knows your plight, and you want to tear her down. You know, meet her with some sort of criticism or derogatory language. Like, we have to say, queen, hey, beautiful, hey, gorgeous, how you doing, sister? Love you, sister. Have a great evening. Like, all of this beep and beep, 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 all this cussing at one another, which is reinforcing what mass society thinks of us. And it's also perpetuating the hate that we have for ourselves. And so we really have to work on some of those things, because it contributes to us having broken friendships. And it contributes to us not showing up for one another because we got some side idea about one another, or some jealousy, or some sort of feeling where, really, sister, if we really linked up together and we did things together more often, we'd be so unstoppable. And let me tell y'all, they already know this. And when I say they, I'm talking about you know who. Who knows who I'm talking about? Let's see. Who knows who I'm talking about? Nobody knows. Well, let's talk about it. The system. Our Caucasian counterparts, the people in charge of some of the challenges that we face, some of the reasons why we hate ourselves, because we are all fighting against the system, right? Or is that just me, and I'm the only black woman out here fighting against the system and being marginalized and being oppressed?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. You are not.
Oh, I mean, I'm just saying, sister, you got to speak up.
Oh, no, you are not.
Okay. Yes, I know I'm not. Even if we don't speak it, it's the truth. It's the truth, and it's a truth I wish didn't exist. You know, and it's a truth mm-hmm. that runs so deep, so deep. 2 weeks ago, my cousin and Miss Lucille was on the line, and we were bringing up the remnants of the Willie Lynch letter. And the break-in, you know, this letter just goes so deep, sisters. They have it sectioned off where they just really have the disenfranchisement of us. And they say, the break-in process of the African woman. Take the female and run a series of tests to see her. A series of tests on her to see if she will submit to your desires willingly. Test her in every way because she is the most important factor for good economics. Do you understand that? They already know. If we got together and we worked things out and we could show up and trust, love, respect, and be honest with one another, show some compassion for one another, we would already solve half of this problem with this economics. Because that means we're smart, we're intelligent, we're creators, we know what we're doing. It then goes to say if she shows any sign of resistance in submitting completely to your will, do not hesitate to use the bullwhip on her to extract the last bit of bitch out of her. Take care not to kill her, for in doing so, you spoil good economics. Come on. That's that melanin in your skin. That's the melanin you possess. When in complete submission, she will train her offsprings in the early years to submit to labor when they become of age. This is our generations and generations of our children being enslaved and trapped in bondage and thinking like our ancestors did. Slave mentality, slave syndrome. Understanding is the best thing. This is what I'm trying to give you today. Therefore, we shall go deeper into this area of the subject matter concerning what we have produced here in the breaking process of the female nigger. We have reversed the relationship in her natural uncivilized state. She would have a strong dependency on the uncivilized. What? She will have a strong dependency on the uncivilized nigger male, and she would have a limited protective tendency toward her independent male offspring and will raise male offspring to be dependent like her. Come on, single mother, suffering. Nature had provided for this type of balance. We reverse nature by burning and pulling a civilized nigger apart and bullwhipping the other to the point of death, all in her presence. By her being left alone, unprotected, with the male image destroyed, the ordeal caused her to move from her psychologically dependent state to a frozen independent state. In this frozen psychological state of independence, she will raise her male and female offspring in reverse roles for fear of the young male's life. She will psychologically train him to be mentally weak and dependent, but physically strong, because she has become psychologically independent. She will train her female offsprings to be psychologically independent. What have you got? You got the nigger woman out front and the nigger man behind and scared. This is a perfect situation of sound sleep and economics. Before the breaking process, we had to be alertly on guard at all times. Fear this woman stands guard for us. He cannot get past her early slave molding process. He is a good tool. Now ready to be tied to the horse at a tender age. By the time a nigger boy reaches the age of 16, he is soundly broken in and ready for a long life of sound and efficient work and the reproduction of a unit of good labor force. Continually, through the breaking of uncivilized savage niggers by throwing the nigger female savage into a frozen psychological state of independence, by killing a protective male image, and by creating a submissive dependent mind of the nigger male slave, we have created an orbiting cycle that turns on its own axis forever unless a phenomenon occurs and reshifts the position of the male and female slaves. We show what we mean by example. Take the case of the two economic slave units and examine them close. My God, today, I don't know if y'all ancestral blood is over there boiling, but I'm pissed. And this is just, and that's just one part of the Willie Lynch, The Making of a Slave. This is one part of the Willie Lynch letter, The Making of a Slave. My sisters brought that up to me last week. I said, no, we're going to share that next week. We're going to share that. Because we need to have a real discussion about where this manifests from and why we're even having these broken relationships and why we hate ourselves and why we even started the year off talking about colorism and how we have been strategically having discussions about these things. Because guess what? The phenomenon is us. The phenomenon is awareness, and the phenomenon also includes taking action. And that's what we're doing. When we meet here every Saturday, we are contributing to us. We're pouring back into us, our ancestral DNA, our futures, our here and now, because we still have an opportunity to take action. Sisters, how y'all feeling? How y'all feeling about that? Look, y'all speechless. I had to read that, but y'all know what? This is real. This is where we're at. This is what's happening, and we can't ignore it anymore. This is not a time to ignore it. This is a time to start showing up for yourselves and addressing the things that you're doing to contribute to not having good relationships with your friends, not having good relationships with yourself, not having good relationships with your family. We have.
Very good, LaWanda. This is Aisha. How are you?
Hey, Miss
Sparko. How's it going? Hey, BG.
It's going good.
Hey.
And I just want to say I love everything you've been saying. And I think the sister who was talking about really making sure, let me see, how did she say it? Well, I'll go here and I'll come back to that. I think one of the things when we were talking about the communication and friendship is a lot of times we don't express what we need. We have friends, but we never have that conversation to say, this is what I need in our relationship. We do it a lot of times in our, you know, with our husbands, with our partners. But as we grow with our, as we have our friendship prolong, we grow, we change. And sometimes that other person don't know what we need. And that's where conflict come from. So we really have to be honest and really tell someone, I've changed. I'm not this person anymore. This is what I need out of the relationship. I need you maybe to be more attentive. I need you to be more honest. Or what you say is hurtful to me. And so that's how a lot of relationships end up going in different directions. And then we can't forgive. Sometimes we really struggle with forgiving and realizing that everybody is human and make mistakes, and we grow and we become better. But again, it starts with those crucial, I call them crucial conversations that we have to have with each other as friends, and then your friendship will last.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. And I think Ms. Treva and I even was kind of touching on that earlier too, Ms. Barco. If we don't have any communication with the people that we are calling a friend, we're living out of an assumption. And then when we get burnt or hurt, you know better. You shouldn't have dared me like that. Well, you didn't know what her values were as a friend. You never had a real conversation outside of, you know, I want to go hang out, I want to go eat, I want to get some nails done. You know, everything is surface level. We need to be able to go deep, because when I'm going through something, I need a shoulder to cry on, and I want to know that I can trust you when I'm crying. Especially because of the different levels of authority and the positions that some of these ladies on the line are even in. You know, it gets harder and harder to have a friend the more status you develop. You're like, I can't talk to nobody looking at me like this. I can't cry. I can't be weak. I can't be just a human sometimes. And so it's really hard to know who you can go and call on in your darkest hours and know that, hey, that person is here just solely because they're a friend and not because of something they can gain from you or, you know, out of peer. I wash your back, you wash my back. So you feeling like if I do something for them, I'm going to have to do something, you know, tenfold for them to show up for me the next time. You know, we really gotta get out of that.
Absolutely.
Light on that, because that's the truth.
Yep. And then when you talk about, you know, the system, we are fighting so many stereotypes, and I'm happy you went over that Willie Lynch letter, because we're not only fighting stereotypes from the system, from people that's in the system, for how they think we behave, to our intelligence, to the way we look, to our relationships. We have it, you know, within our own communities. And all that plays a role in our self-esteem. It makes it difficult for us to communicate. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm going in the car wash now. The phone may cut off.
No problem. But, no, you're right. You're completely right. And then it's the images that we place on ourselves, too. You know, the self-hate and looking at yourself in the mirror and not liking who you are and not knowing, you know, what to do and being confided to being a big dreamer but just not having the resources to expound on your dreams, on having good mentors and people who can cultivate you as young women. So I would definitely say we need more mentorship out here. So that young girls know exactly how to be better friends. We have, right now in Milwaukee, we have this thing where we got the Kia boys and the Kia girls and all of this conflict going on around trying to be liked or feel a part of something and be in a gang. And we have these young ladies out here, you know, talking and bragging about how these young boys who are out here committing senseless crimes. You know, so this stuff goes deep and covers every bit of our community, and we really have to pour back into them as well as ourselves, because this is chaotic. This is corrupt. Does anyone else want to jump into the discussion before we go to our top of the hour? Okay, ladies. Well, I'm just appreciative of all the ladies who have contributed thus far, and I want to take us into a quick meditation before we go into the rest of the show, simply because we want to develop that compassion, care, and love for one another, and learn how to see each other not only as the mistakes that we make, but go ahead and engage in having conversations. As we grow older, some of our friendships will change over time, where we are no longer, you know, hanging out the way we used to. And that usually, that really feels horrible when that happens, because we don't really like change or want to adjust to change. And so I can just freely speak and say it's hard to transition as you're aging and seeing how your friendships are changing, because people are having children. People are getting married. People are moving out of state, going to get new jobs. People having other relationships, different kinds of relationships. I mean, it really, really touches on a lot of different changes. So I want you to think about that as we transition into the meditation, and then we will get back to the second part of this show. So before we begin this meditation, I want you to bring kind awareness to why you thought today would be a good topic to sit in and listen to, how your belly, chest, and head each feel when you reflect on this topic, the emotions that you can associate with your visceral feelings, the positive or negative impact of any stories you believe in regarding this topic, the fact that many others are feeling similarly about this topic as you are, how you might feel with increased awareness around this topic, when you can apply increased mindfulness on this topic in your day-to-day life. I want to welcome you guys back to another Black Sister Talk guided meditation. In today's practice, we'll focus on cultivating compassion, sending care for those who are suffering or experiencing difficulty in their life. So taking some time to get settled, finding a comfortable position, perhaps on your back or on your side, however feels most comfortable for you. Finding a place you can be relatively still, opening the belly, and perhaps taking a few deep breaths just at your own pace and allowing your breath to return to its natural rhythm, letting the body breathe itself. And for this practice of compassion today, starting with bringing the mind to someone from your life who you care about and you know that they're experiencing something difficult. This might be a good friend or a relative, a teacher, a mentor, or a boss, but you know that they're experiencing some pain or difficulty, some emotional distress. I recommend choosing someone who is not going through the most traumatic experience, someone or something around a level 5 or 6 out of 10. So some difficulty that is real, but not something overwhelming. Taking some time to reflect on this person, and bring an image of this person into your mind. Maybe they're going through financial difficulty or a breakup. Maybe they're feeling lonely, overwhelmed, or insecure. Just noticing what is the emotion that they might be feeling. You may find it helpful to imagine the scenario that is causing them with distress. And then reflecting on your care for this person, reflecting on the fact that you just wish well for this friend.
You want to see them happy. You want to see them feeling safe and secure. And notice where in your body you feel that sense of care. And to practice this compassion meditation, we can send phrases of compassion. So thinking of this person, bringing them into your mind, and silently in your mind repeating these phrases. Care about your pain. I care about your suffering. May you be free from pain and suffering. May you be at peace. Going through this phrase is, again, reflecting on this person, you can just imagine saying these phrases to this friend of yours. I care about your pain. I care about your suffering. May you be free from pain and suffering. May you be at peace. See if you can visualize this person receiving your compassion, knowing what it feels like to be cared for in a difficult time. Can you envision the look of relief on this person's face as they receive your care and support? If you find it helpful, you can imagine yourself sitting with this person and holding their hand or perhaps giving them a hug. Simply letting them know that you care about the pain and suffering that they are experiencing. And allowing the image of this person to fade away. Call to mind another person who has been experiencing difficulty recently. This can be a friend, a mentor, a coach, a relative, or it might be someone more neutral. Maybe you saw someone experiencing painful physical sensations recently. Just bringing to mind someone in a state of pain or suffering, someone who is easy to care about. See this person's face in your mind's eye and reflect on what type of emotion they might be experiencing. Loss or grief, frustration, stress, confusion, pain. And in this meditation, we simply send our care. We let this person know we care about their feelings. We care about their suffering. So repeating the phrases just quietly in your mind, making a sort of mantra of the phrases. I care about your pain. I care about your suffering. May you be free from pain and suffering. May you be at peace. You might imagine yourself in holding their hand. I care about your pain. I care about your suffering. May you be free from pain and suffering. May you be at peace. Knowing that at your heart, you do care for this person's well-being. Exploring and getting curious about what does that feel like to care for someone in pain. Bringing your attention to the center of your chest. Feeling the warmth that is generated from this practice. And if you wish, you can continue to silently repeat the phrases or write them in your journal for future reflection. I care about your pain. Care about your suffering. May you be free from pain and suffering. May you be at peace. And you can continue this as long as you like and allow yourself to return to the present moment just when you are ready. I'm going to open the lines up, and I want to hear how you ladies are feeling.
And it's okay if you were unable to sit through it or if you found your mind drifting throughout that practice, because that's normal. I want you to know that for anyone who is listening and who may not meditate often, it's quite normal to have some agitation or feel some feelings of uneasiness when we are sitting still, because to be honest, most of us don't have an opportunity to just sit still and even focus on our thought in that way, you know? So it's okay. I just want to hear what that experience was like for you and what was coming up.
That was me. That was Trevor that took that deep breath. And it wasn't in a bad way. So let me make sure I say that. I don't know. Sometimes when I get on here, well, every Saturday, I don't know if I'm in prayer or if I'm with the therapist. But it feels amazing. I feel relieved just from that moment of meditation. Because all of what we've been talking about with this whole friendship thing is, well, not friendship thing, conversation about friendship and healthy friendship are all things that I have been experiencing, learning, and trying to get through. Not necessarily bad, but it's like every Saturday, it's almost kind of like you guys know like where I'm at. And so it's weird, but I feel refreshed. I feel relieved. Even after, you know, I had a week of having crucial conversations with a friend that's been my friend since sixth grade.
Since your rocket kind of, with your grandma?
Huh? What'd you say?
No, Treva, I think someone just was talking in the background. I don't think they were necessarily speaking to you.
And I'm like,
no,
what'd you say?
No.
Right.
I want to
okay.
hear what you were saying, sister. Go ahead.
No, so it's just refreshing and relieving because, you know, I'm just learning so much when it comes to the boundaries, the friendships, and all that stuff. And so, you know, after having a serious, crucial conversation with a close friend of mine from the age of 11, not knowing if that friendship was going to completely dissolve, you know, trying to understand each other as we're in different paths in our lives and, you know, understanding if it's, have we outgrown each other or have we just kind of got distracted, just all these different things. So it just feels like refreshing. Like I said, it feels normal when I'm here on the call on Saturdays because society makes us feel like we can't have these conversations, like they're not normal. And so it makes a lot of people scared to even go to their so-called friend or, you know, their friend and say, hey, you know, let's talk or this makes me feel this way, whatever the case is. So it just kind of feels like, you know, refreshing to know that these things are normal. Like this is the way that relationships and friendships are supposed to go if they're going to be healthy. They're not going to be perfect, but for them to be healthy, you know. So I'm just, you know, grateful that we went through that process of meditation and just having this conversation. I just appreciate it.
No, Treva, and I appreciate you. And I know, you know, having friendships that last between decades, right, some of those friends that we just met in kindergarten or, you know, first grade or, like you said, sixth grade, that's a really long time to know a person. You see a person grow and develop in so many ways at that amount of time. So that's really
challenging.
Hello, somebody else talking? Oh, no, I want to make sure I don't miss nothing. But what I was saying is that it's really hard to even think about the ending of a relationship that has that type of history, right? And it's really hard to, because that person ain't just a friend no more. That's like more like a family member. When you know somebody 25, 30 years or most of your life, you know, you feel a kind of way. You don't feel like you felt when you met somebody from college if y'all just been out of college for 4 years. You know, you can deal with it. You're going to be hurt. You can deal with that a little bit different. But it's those childhood friends that really hurt you because you're like, you're going to always be my friend. You know, you got that one friend where you ain't talked to them in a year or some months, and as soon as you talk to that person, it's like y'all ain't never stop talking because that's been your friend.
Exactly.
They understand your life. Yeah. When you do link back up, it's like, we back and I miss you, and let's, you know, make it a priority. Because when we don't make our friends a priority, we feel some kind of way. And sometimes that's out of our hands or out of their hands. But how we going to still communicate? You know, and with all of this technology that we have these days, I know I see some of my friends using Snapchat or Marco Polo or, you know, sending voice messages or video messages to one another because it is really hard to get that one-on-one time with each other, right? You know, and I can even see for me, some of my friends, they started, you know, listening to the show or chiming in to the show or, you know, following up with me about something with this show because they know, like, that's something that LaWanda's really passionate about. So that Saturday brunch we used to always have, that's just not going to be happening for a while because she has repositioned her life and she has a show. So now my friends show up to my show to show me support here now because they know that's something that I care about and that's one of my values. And so in return, I have to make them a priority in my life in other ways. And we don't get to see each other, you know, once a week like we normally did in the past. We have to now figure out other ways to spend time with each other where it's, you know, sometimes it crosses over to work and business life because we all are living in a very demanding time where we need resources. And if you don't have enough resources, come on now, y'all seen these gas prices going all the way up. I'm thinking about getting an electric car at this point. Because it's stuff that's constantly happening, right? And so we're constantly trying to shift and figure out how to create a balance and also still have a life of our own, still hang out with people that we love and show them love. You don't want to hang out with them and be cranky because you're tired from work, too. Like, girl, I don't want to be bothered with you today, but I'm still here. I showed up. Like, no, you don't want to come with that energy. You want to be a friend and you want to be able to show up for people. So, Treva, I definitely understand where you're coming from, sister, because I think we all go through this. I think we all go through the dynamics of our relationships changing, whether it's the careers, the children, changes in family dynamics, or just simply growing apart. Or not to mention when you lose a friend to death, you know, all of these different feelings come up when you lose a friend. No matter how you lost them, you still engage in some sort of grieving process when that does happen. And sometimes you get an opportunity, you know, to salvage the relationship if you care enough to have a conversation about it, you know, because we find out like, hey, I was thinking this because you did this when I really should have been, you know, talking to you or asking you some questions about that versus assuming you just don't love me no more. You know, and that comes back to that communication piece. Because any one of my friends, if y'all listening, y'all know I love you from the moon and back and would do anything for you. And I would never want to lose a friend. I would never want to lose a friend. Because my friends, they become my sisters. Because I'm the oldest. So I'm always looking at my sisters like, girl, you better show up. And you better get on my case just like I'm going to get on your case when you show up, and I'll let you know that because that's what we're going to need sometimes. And I'll let you know, hey, that's my boundary. You can come and approach me. I don't want you to feel like you can't talk to me, you know. And so we have to be able to communicate that with one another because really my question to you guys becomes, whose fault is it that we are not good friends to one another? Who do you blame for that? Where do you think this is coming from? Where is this manifesting from, ladies? I said all of that to say that. So where do you think these feelings come from, and who do you blame for not being a good friend to your friend? Where do you place the blame?
So that means the lines opened up.
Yes, girl, you know these lines been open. I heard everybody.
I was trying to make sure I ain't jump in front of nobody. For me, and I'm just going to be brutally honest and transparent, in the past, 50% of it came from abandonment or attachment issues, and then 50% of it came from being like the over communicator and not knowing how someone else wants to communicate. So I was always quick to attack, which is something that I took a lot of time to work on, and I'm still working on it, which is why I'm like more cautious, like everybody else, you know, feelings matter too, or, you know, their love languages, things like that. But a lot of it became from abandonment, losing a lot of people in family, whether it was bad relationships or death. Just people falling left and right, you know, walking into my, out of my life left and right. And I really had to learn as I got older and still learning that everybody is not going to be around forever. And it doesn't mean good or bad. They're just not going to be at your side to hold your hand forever, all the time. And so, like, learning who my associates are and who my friends are is really, really important to be able to decipher how attached I want to get to somebody, or, you know, how strong of a foundation I want to build with somebody. So that's just kind of my answer for that.
No, and I appreciate you for saying that, Treva, because this also can cross over into other areas, right? That abandonment, that loss. Let's look at the workplace, right? I know all my ladies on the line are working very hard in their careers, and some of you ladies have multiple careers and multiple forms of income and things that you're doing, and I'm so proud of you. Because look what black women are doing. Okay. I wanted to think about how that type of issue can cross over into our profession. How do we see ourselves dealing with envy when this feeling of abandonment shows up? How does this show up for you when you're working and you have to be on a team with someone? This ain't your friend. This is an associate. How does that show up then? Treva, and if you wanna chime in, that's fine. I know Tiff said she can't hear. She's gonna chime in too.
When I'm, you know, in those type of situations, I wouldn't say it's completely challenging, but it does show up different. Because, you know, internally I have to remind myself of those boundaries regardless of the work environment, how close to get with them. And not in a rude way, but I'm the type of person, like, I hate to say it as rude as I do sometimes, I'm not here to be your friend. Like, some people are still very similar to how I used to be, and I'm still growing, but I don't like to build friendships with everybody. We're here to work. And so just to kind of have that little play time, that project time, work time, whatever we're doing, and close it down after 8, 9, 10 hours without anybody feeling any kind of way or walking from the table like, oh, I think she's jealous of me, or, oh, I think this. No, this is our work relationship. Because we're not gonna go hang out and have drinks. That's what we're not going to do. And that's, you know, learning just everybody. So I just have to remind myself, like, just observe how people are and don't shut them down like that, but just understand how to maneuver, because some people are overly friendly. Some people, you know, that's just how they are. They don't mean no harm. It doesn't mean they're a bad person or anything, but everybody is in a different phase in their life. Everybody, you know, is just different. And so when I'm, you know, at work or whatnot, whether I'm physical or working through teams in the computer, I still have to show up like, hey, you know, don't be overly aggressive because you healing or you working on something. You ain't got to let everybody know they ain't your friend. So, you
That's
know,
right.
I'm just still
That's
learning.
Right.
You know, I'm just still learning, because you can also burn bridges by just being a butthole. Like, you don't got to be mean because you're learning And so that's kind of, you know, I work on that daily. Because we're in a world where everything, like you said, technology, whatever jobs we're doing, our careers, we're going to be on computers. We're going to be, you know, bigger groups and meetings. And you may not like what somebody say, how I come across and all that. And they might, may not have bad intent. So I have to remind myself of, you know, learning to not take it personal, set those boundaries, still be nice, and everybody can be cool.
Exactly. Exactly. And I appreciate you for saying that, Treva, because sometimes when we're working with people, we can develop associates, we can develop friendships, but we also need to do something called self-monitoring. And that's what Treva was just explaining to you guys, some self-monitoring, knowing where you are and not projecting where you are onto other people, because we're all learning and growing. We're all going through things. And that's why my number one rule is to show up with kindness. That's why we talked about kindness and compassion in that meditation, because it's so easy to feel frustrated and to put people at such a high regard when they're just human too. When we're all just human, we need to give people the same grace we want to receive. And then when people that you're giving grace to don't give you the same grace and reciprocation, the boundary has to be up where you're going to deal with this person in X, Y, and Z ways, because this is what you got to do to get your job done. Okay, I promise you, as a young professional working with so many smart, talented, beautiful black women, you know, I gravitate to that because I see things in these women that I want to possess. I want to possess being, you know, a strong woman, not too strong where nobody sees that I need help, but I want to be able to show up for myself and build a legacy the way I see other professional women around me doing. And why wouldn't I want to be around that, right? If you want to make a change, put yourself around the change you want to see. You can't, you got to change your environment, people, places, and things. Okay, so when you're working with people professionally and you might be bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and these people may put you down or try to have you on a string so you can only succeed and do so much. Ladies, I want you to be watchful of these types of folks. They may smile in your face. Y'all know how it go. All the time want to take your place. Come on. Watch out for those types.
Or even they're trying to make sure you don't take their place, but they'll overwork you, not just limit you, but, you know, overwork you. It can go into so many different situations. But, you know, when you're educated and a strong black woman and you're continuously trying to climb the ladder, you're going to always be perceived as a challenge. And, you know, sometimes, like, we don't have to kiss butt, but we have to know how aggressive to be, to remind them that, you know, these are the boundaries, but without, you know, anyone disrespecting each other, because a lot of people don't like to see us elevate. They don't want to see us at the tip top or surpass them. So they will block us in every way that they can, but they will overwork us. And they will indirectly disrespect us.
And
so that's,
and it is,
you know, combining all those things, it's challenging. But if we want to grow as black women, as, you know, entrepreneurs, as a community, you know, these are the challenges that we face daily, and I don't think they'll ever get any easier.
Well, we can't. They can get easier. They can, and it has to come with a change in behavior and bringing things into awareness. Every day you should reflect on the things that you are doing and the actions that you have taken, not for rumination, just to check in with yourself and see if you're moving the way you want to move it. You understand what I'm saying? Because this is very much happening in our community. And instead of building tomorrow's leaders, we worried about being greedy and trying to get it all for ourselves. See, my thing here on this show is to uplift each and every one of them women that listens, that are on the lines, as well as the ladies who aren't on the lines right now and listening at home, be listening to it on the playback. You know, we have to change the narrative.
We have to change the narrative, and it starts with us. I ask the question, whose fault is it? Well, some of it is our fault. If I'm looking at you, I got to change the way I'm doing some things. I have to perceive and understand that I'm only in control of myself. So what actions have I contributed to these situations? You know, and some of the times it's the lack of having a boundary set. You know, just because somebody is your boss or in a higher position than you, you should very well be able to communicate with them what it is they can and cannot do with you. You should very well be able to communicate how you will and won't be using your time, because then the lack of respect is the respect is non-existent. You know, and I speak from experience when I talk about these things, as even working in social services and having all the skills in the world to do a lot of the things that I have done professionally and be told, hey, no, we don't see any value in that, what you're doing or what you have to offer. But on the flip side, they'll call and ask you to show up and do things but not want to pay you. They want you to work for free. How are we still exercising Willie Lynch today? How is this still happening? And what is it that each and every one of us women are going to do to change our actions after having a conversation like this today? How are you going to change the way you're showing up for yourself? How are you going to change the way you have friendships and communicate with one another about that? Or is it not important enough to change? That's the question I have for you guys, because honestly, I come here every Saturday and I put so much energy into this show, and I take the time to have these conversations with everyone, because guess what? This stuff will be all in our head and it'll never be dealt with again. And we don't have many people who support our thoughts and ideas usually. So this is why we even show up here, because we don't really have the spaces to do it anywhere. So I hope this space is one that's going to help you to say, how am I going to talk to my daughter about that, for the mothers that are on the line, or my nieces, or even my nephews, because they're going to encounter women. You see, the psychological blueprint that has been set before us and has been a well-oiled machine for many years to come. I certainly don't want to see this continue to happen in our community, let alone in the future. So what are you going to do? Yeah, y'all like, I don't know, Miss Chambers. I don't know. You got me kind of stumped right now. You put me on the spot. You put me on the spot. Well, I'm going to tell you guys what I'm prepared to do. I'm prepared to continue to show up here and have these conversations and engage you guys. I'm also going to continue to show up for my friends. I'm going to continue to show up for all my sisters. I'm going to continue to create spaces for us to have these conversations. I'm going to continue to create events for us to attend so that we can leave feeling like somebody did something for us. Somebody thought about us today. Somebody said, oh, I want to put this together for you so that we can be replenished. Because ain't nobody thinking about the black woman. Ain't nobody giving a damn about us. And if we can engage in a sisterhood and build stronger alliances and build trust, wow, we can do some amazing things, women. Do you understand that? Do you know how many resources are on this line right now? Nothing but smart, bright, beautiful women on this line right now. Did you know that? Yes, I'm talking about you. You and each and every one of you that is on this line.
Ms. Chambers?
Yes?
This is Ms. Devine. I just want to add something really quick. Happy Saturday, everybody. I hope everybody is doing well. You know, me listening to everything, I think everybody has absolute great points. And I want to speak from a perspective of a person who has, you know, an attachment disorder, reactive attachment disorder. I think that even if you don't have this disorder, I think that it's good to know what type of attachment style you have. You can have, I think one of them, a few of them, I think it's about four, And one of them is avoidant. The other one is insecure. The other one is dismissive. And I forgot what, I think, and the fourth one is secure. So it's avoidant, dismissive, secure, and I think anxious is another one. And so basically in order to understand or learn or know what they all are, you can just Google attachment styles. And, you know, basically we all, depending on our attachment in early childhood to our caregiver, our mothers, some of us have been in foster care, things like that, that shapes us, you know, and shapes our personality. And if we do have an attachment style that basically causes us to be fearful in our relationships, that causes us to have anxiety with our attachment, sit down, that can cause us to sometimes either be too codependent or to be codependent in general, or it can also cause us to be or to feel like we're being abandoned easily. Like I heard someone mention having abandonment issues. I have them as well. And, you know, so we basically want to get to a point where we have a secure attachment. And that comes from doing a lot of work within. And so I think that when it comes to friendships, when we look at the aspect that, or the part that we play in it, I think we personally should start, I don't want to say we should start with, but I think a good place to start with when it comes to looking at the issue from within first and then looking on the outside is, what is my personal attachment style? So that's just something I wanted to add.
No, Ms. Devon, I appreciate you for adding it because it definitely does touch on the foundations of who you are and why you behave the way you behave. So I think that's an excellent point to bring up.
Yeah, as well as that helps us, like she says, it comes from within, you know. It also allows us to not only identify our attachment style, but not unintentionally put expectations on people. And that's how a lot of people, you know, they feel like they've been let down or somebody's walked out on them or people with abandonment issues or disorder, they struggle because unintentionally, I'll say we, because I'm still working on it, it's not as bad as it used to be. We don't even realize we put expectations on people, but we cover it up with, this is how I'll treat somebody or this is how I want to be treated, not even knowingly, unconsciously, like putting expectations on people. So, yeah, it's really important that we work on that part of discovery, like what is our attachment style, so that even if it's not, you know, it's whatever it is, it can be worked on and potentially modified by ourselves, you know, as we build friendships, as we network, you know, and that helps us organize where to place people.
Exactly. And it all starts from having an open dialogue. We have to be able to have real conversations. How many of your friends do you really know what their upbringing was like, what that trauma was that they experienced, right? That's where this is where this starts to form, having real understanding with people. And sometimes people don't want to ask these questions because they become uncomfortable with you and how you became you, not knowing that's the thing you want to know the most. This is how we develop some empathy and compassion for our sisters, by knowing our sister's plight and not using that as a tool to bring her down, but a way to lift her up and let her know it's okay. You expecting somebody to do something from you that's avoiding. This is this anxiety that's coming up for them. The perceived threat makes them feel this way. How do you make a person feel safe then? That should be your number one objective with your friend. Now that you know this, how do I show up for her and present a safe space for her to feel comfortable even with me? Because so many times we walk around with all kind of stuff on our backs and we don't have nowhere to sit down and take a break with the load. Even if you got to continue to carry the load, you don't even have nowhere to go sit down and drop it off for a little bit and feel safe to do so. We startled all the time. And then we think, like, how long is this friendship going to last? I don't really want to tell nobody what I'm really dealing with because I don't know if they're going to still want to be my friend or if they're going to be around long enough for us to, you know, sort that out. And some women are just immature. And with all of this social media, people get mad at you. The first thing they do is go on Facebook and write a status about how you ain't no good. What's up with that? Then you got to ask yourself, that ain't a friend I want to be friends with anyway. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope if anybody...
Yeah, or you get to questioning your own self.
Right, but I just want to say, if any lady on the line is currently engaging in activities to express themselves, I would suggest you get a therapist so you can express yourself in the confines of a confidential environment. You know, ain't nothing wrong with getting therapy. Ain't nothing wrong with going to see someone to work on yourself and have an accountability factor in your life. That's always helpful too, ladies. It's okay. We're all healing. We're all growing. And know that healing is an ongoing process. It don't start today and end at the end of the year. Triggers and things can come up at any time. So I want you guys to engage in the process of observing, acknowledging, and responding. You know, it's so important. And just to even encourage you guys to continue to show up for Sensual Saturdays, where we talk about that yoga off the mat, and we learn how to use that yoga off the mat in our everyday lives. You know, get into a practice in which you're able to practice these skills safely, using your own body as a tool and building compassion around your own as you reach out and you try to build compassion around other folks. So I'm so proud of you ladies for even having such a tough conversation today of looking at the type of friends you are and the type of friend you would want to have, and even addressing, you know, what this looks like for professional young women growing up and looking for mentorship from older women. You know, we also have to look at when we're dealing with older women that we're going to be old one day too. I know y'all over there. Yes, you're going to be old one day too. You better hope you get to be old. I have a lot of respect for women that are older than me, because they come with so much wisdom. I would never want to see a woman older than me and have a friendship with her and she to see me as something she should envy or something that she should meet with resistance. I would hope that older woman meets me with love and compassion and see something in me that's similar to what she fought for. And I will hope that she will reach out and share those things with me to further our growth as a woman, as a sisterhood, as someone who has to carry on the torch to the next generation. I will hope that sister sees us as an opportunity to continue to build legacy and succession within the community. We don't have nobody else fighting for us. And if we don't have us fighting for us, ain't nobody going to do it. Y'all understand that? And I ain't here to yell at you, and I ain't here to chastise you, but I am here to bring awareness to the topic and to a change that needs to happen. And if you're not able to speak on what your action step is today, I hope that you engage with us on our social media platforms and share with us there what your action step will be to become a better friend. Because we can do something about this. It is not too late. It is never too late. Even if you had a mishap with a friend, there are ways for you to mend those relationships after reflection. I know they say time heals everything, but there are ways to mend those relationships. And if you want to know what are a few ways, I'll share with you that first and foremost, you must acknowledge your pain because it's okay to be hurt and address it so that you're not hurt again. And that you should practice self-care.
Let me go right back in. I can let you know once I do go back.
And that you should practice self-care. I don't know who that is, but let me mute you because I don't want that on the playback necessarily. So let me mute everybody's lines. What I was saying is that you want to practice self-care. This can mean a lot of things. So I will just say focus on doing things that bring you joy and help you to refuel. I want you to avoid playing it over in your head by giving yourself time to process and write your thoughts down, which allows you to address things in the right time and space. You do not want to run around being hyper-emotional. I want to encourage women to exercise. And let's reframe the word exercise, because words that are triggering like exercise and eating healthy, we want to start using different words that mean the same thing, because our minds tend to shut stuff down unintentionally and intentionally. So let's talk about just getting up and moving our bodies and just engaging in a few minutes of movement, because a few minutes of movement consistently can go a very long way. I encourage you to talk to someone, preferably a therapist, because your secret is safe with us by honoring your confidentiality. And I will also say and encourage you guys to join a support group that is culturally representative of you, which allows you to feel comfortable being yourself. And some of you guys are already doing some of these things on the list. And most importantly, this is like a support group coming here and having other women pour into you. So I'm very proud of you for choosing yourself and finding your tribe so that you can work on some of these things and get those ideas out and hear responses from other women who may have been going through some of those things or have already been there. Most importantly, ladies, I want you to pay attention to how you are treated by people when you are having relationships. Because when someone shows you who you are, you should believe them the first time. So you do not begin to form habits which may influence your thoughts and feelings in ways where you begin to ruminate the logic of your decisions. Black women, if we want to be successful past our lives, we must situate ourselves to build legacy not only into our families, but into our communities. Sometimes family will not understand your vision, and you must learn to align yourself with the people who are like-minded and trustworthy. So maintaining, building, and growing continues. If we do not step outside the familiar, we will never take the risk needed to become successful. I appreciate each and every one of you ladies for listening in today and participating in today's show. I'm also so grateful for all of our online listeners and our playback listeners as well. And I just want to thank you guys as well. Again, I want to thank Tiffany and Stephanie for showing up last week to hold me down. You guys did such a phenomenal job. Please engage with their social media platforms as well and look them up, Little Learners on Instagram and Facebook, as well as the Just Tiff Show, Tiffany Nixon on Instagram. In addition to that, if you're not already following the Black Sister Talk platform, please go ahead and like us and follow us on Black Sister Talk on Instagram and Facebook, as well as engage with our counseling page, Lifting Individuals Forward, or Life Wellness and Counseling Services on Facebook. Before I let you go today, I want to remind you guys that we have our Sensual Saturday next week with Miss Candace Mercedes. Yes, hunty. Candace will be back next week. We will be talking about if your sensual chakras are aligned, aligning our sensual energies to enhance our pleasures. We will be discussing understanding the difference in pleasure levels when our energies are off balance. Let's get into that. In addition to that, I want to give you guys a quick update on our first book club meeting with Tina L. Payne, reading the book Untethered. Oh, my God. I cannot stress to you guys how that book was just such a great read. And if you have not already gotten the book, I encourage you guys to go get that book. You will see the link on our page where you can interact with that. The book is amazing. The book club was even more amazing to sit down and discuss with sisters. I got a few ladies on the line if they want to share what they felt about the show. I also want to mention our Small Business Saturday. It's the second Saturday of the month, which will continue to go on today, as we've already plugged our small businesses, Little Learners, and Just Tiff as well. And our stories, please engage with that as well on Instagram so you can find out more about some of the businesses that are in rotation on our page. Also, want to mention that we're going to have another book next month. So this is going to continue to go on until we get to our Writers Club, which is coming up after our retreat in the summer. And lastly, let me not forget to mention the Black Sister Talk Mindset Reset Retreat. That is going to take place June 3rd through June 5th. We have so many great things in store for you guys that weekend. I cannot wait to see you guys there. And if you're interested in getting your tickets for the retreat, go ahead and send us an email to wyb@blacksistertalk.com or send us a DM on the Instagram page. We cannot wait to see you there. We have so many great, great women participating in the retreat to provide you all with the content that is needed for a mindset reset, and I am just looking forward to it. Again, I love each and every one of you, and I can't wait to see you guys next Saturday. Have a fantastic
I do my head talk, check my neck. Baby, how you feeling? Head talk, check my neck. Baby, how you feeling?
Make it right.